This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, December 6th show. My goal is to keep you up to date on the latest news and trends in our local economy. Keep me tuned in, and I promise I'll keep you informed. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but you can always call into the show at 1-855-400-1150, 1-855-400-1150, or online at themoneyhour.com, and you can ask any questions that you have during the entire show with the guests that I have in studio today. Again, we're here for the entire show is reserved for Northwest Dream Team with John L. Scott Real Estate. Just a wealth of information. I'm just excited to hear from all of you to talk to my listeners. And for this next segment, we're going to kind of keep it around the buyer arena. So if I have buyers that are listening to the show and thinking of purchasing real estate, let's just get right to the first question and talk about the holidays. The holidays, you know, coming up here, or actually we're in the holidays. We just passed one of them, how things come really quickly. And somebody might be thinking, you know what, maybe it's not the time to purchase a home. What are you guys telling your buyers right now with the opportunity during the holidays, or lack of?
You know, that's always a real loaded question, mm-hmm. right? A lot of it just depends on what you're trying to accomplish when you're buying.
Okay.
So are you a renter looking to buy? Are you a first-time home buyer? Are you an upgrade mover? The question really is, you know, is this the right time to buy for you?
Okay.
Right? So as far as the market goes in terms of buying, right now, any time is a good time to buy, especially with interest rates this low, mm-hmm. as you were mentioning
yes.
before, right? We just never know when that uptick is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The market pricing right now, the demand does drop a little bit. Uniquely, though, in the market right now, inventory is also really low.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a much more balanced market. And if you're looking to find and to be able to negotiate today, it's a much better market today to negotiate than it was 6 months ago.
And I think the key thing to also consider is sellers that keep their home on the market today
uh-huh.
through the holidays are motivated to sell.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. You know, James, yes. I mean, if you're listing your home during the holidays, you've got to have some probably urgency to get that home sell. And Noshad, you talked about, you know, not being in that multiple offer scenario like we had just a couple months ago. And I like how you'd mentioned that really it's up to the buyer and it doesn't make sense. Are they finding the right home? Is it the home that they want, the area that they want? And I think if I'm hearing you correctly, it really is just don't get out there. Get out there and take a look at what's out there. And if it makes sense, then you can move on it. And if not, then you're going to wait until after the holidays, like the majority of buyers are doing right now.
Yeah, and really, when you're searching for a home, you just never know when the right home comes up, right?
Yes.
So there's no point in taking time off, right? If you have the right realtor working with you
uh-huh.
and they're searching for you, then when the right home comes up, you're ready to move. The key is to always be prepared to make the move if the right home does come up.
Makes total sense. And so would you guys say that it's that we're in a buyer's or seller's market right now?
Well, that's a great question we get often.
Yes, I'm sure you do,
right?
James.
And so I think based on today's market, it's been a seller's market for the past 12 plus months.
Uh-huh.
And now it's starting to soften. And we're not sure if it's just for the holidays and it's taking a break. But we're definitely seeing more of a balanced market. So I wouldn't consider it necessarily a buyer's market
mm-hmm.
or a seller's market, but there's actually some negotiations going on.
So it's a little, it's not so chaotic out there, and you've got really some time to think and some to go back and forth and decide, you know, how to put this offer together.
Correct.
Makes total sense. Jen, what are you experiencing right now?
Well, the thing that we're seeing is that properties are sitting on the market a little bit longer than what we've been used to.
Okay.
You know, as James mentioned, you know, 6 to 12 months ago. So I'd say longer days on market and even starting to see price reductions. And wow. So that's not something that we've really experienced, you know, beyond 6 months, but it's starting to become more prevalent, you know, with the market shift.
Yeah, no, with price reductions, because I always want, I know there's all these different strategies out there in the real estate community. I know a lot's based on location and the market that you're in and the time frame and all of that. But do you think some of the price reductions and, you know, agents that were going in and listing homes a little tiny bit higher to get that demand of buyers that are coming in, and now that those, the massive buyers aren't there because they're on the holidays, that's why prices are dropping? Or what do you think the reason is for that?
So there's a lot of different factors really affecting the shift right
okay.
now, right? A lot of times when you look historically at the way the market moves, sellers are typically the last to actually get in tune with the market, right? So if you think about today, right, they're still accustomed to the market, and everything they've read over the last 18
sure.
months is that, wow, multiple offers selling in a day, 20, 100,000 over asking. And that's still resonating with them.
Uh-huh.
And even though the market has shifted over the last few months, we're seeing homes come on at pricing that would have been okay six to nine months ago.
Yeah.
But the buyers aren't tolerating it today. The buyers, you know, for whatever reason, the psychology, the mentality, the local economy, there's the confidence level over the last several months with the major tech employers here. Whatever has affected the mentality of the buyers today, they're just not tolerating overpricing. And most of them are hesitant to get into a multiple offer situation. So so they'll wait. And if it gets through, we're not even seeing any like offer review dates anymore. Very rarely do we see seller is going to review an offer on X date, which was a very common practice in the spring. So the mentality of the buyers is now affecting the sellers, but the sellers haven't quite caught up to it. We'll see things that come onto the market right now that are priced probably anywhere from 3 to 8% over market value.
Wow.
And then they're just not selling.
And you know, it's funny how perception works, because the data's there, you know, the data's everywhere. And it's kind of the same with the interest rates and, you know, knowing that eventually they're going to go up, but you still have that sense of what it was or where it is right now and not looking. And, you know, so the data's there, and it's just interesting to see that on the seller side, they're not seeing what's happening and not pricing accordingly, because we're still in the same thing. You need to price right to get the best price. Price it right the first time around, right? So what are you telling your buyer's most important factor to consider when starting their home search?
So the way we always counsel our clients, it's very simple. There are three major factors that go into your home search. There's price, there's location, and then there's home. And I always tell them, you can pick any two of those three, right? Mm-hmm. But the market will always dictate the third. So for example, someone comes to me and says, hey, look, I want a home that's $500,000. I want it to be new. I want it to be 2,000 square feet, and I want it to be, you know, four bedrooms. And so then they've picked the price, and they've picked the actual characteristics of the home.
Okay.
So the market will dictate the location. So in this particular case, I say, great. So how do you like Bothell? Because that's where we're going to go.
Makes
right?
sense, yep.
And then if you were to go pick another two, say, hey, I like price and I like location, so I want $500,000, but I want to live in Bellevue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. How do you like old Ramblers that are about 1,300 square feet?
Wow.
Yeah, so, and then ultimately if you, you know, the other is, hey, I want this location and I want this home, then the market will dictate the price.
Yes.
So if you frame, you know, if we coach our buyers to frame their search in that manner, then they can decide what are the priorities for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want good schools or do I want a good home, and what price point? Where are they willing to compromise? What levers are they willing to adjust to find the right home?
Makes total sense. And I talk on the financing side that it's important to understand where their objective is in a payment, because I think payment is so important to them, but also understanding the difference that payment's going to be for $10,000 in price, because it's not a huge amount, and that can make a huge difference in property. James, what about you and the important factors to consider for starting the home search with the buyers?
Ultimately, I think Nishad hit the three main factors.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes down to life styles as well, that's an important factor. And so what does that really mean? It means schools driving has a big influence. Also,
of course,
one of the big factors is commute. Many people want 30 minutes or less.
Uh-huh.
And so when you look at the radius, it's never about miles. It's always about traffic flow, traffic patterns,
sure,
what time of days. And so location always tends to be one of the top choices.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've educated your clients when there's a little distance that they need to drive, not on the weekends or the evenings. They actually need to take that drive during business hour or when they're going to be commuting, right?
We show them all the shortcuts.
Jen, what about you? What are you seeing?
Sure. So I'd say these guys pretty much hit the nail on the head. I work with a lot of first-time home buyers.
Okay.
That's kind of been my niche. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll go into it with a certain mindset. But like Noshad said, it's all about coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of setting the expectation. And that way they understand that there's different factors that go in that are going to affect the type of home that they're going to be able to get.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, same with James. Commute's a big thing, especially right now with, you know, a lot of road construction, you know, commutes from work and things like that. So it's always good that I advise them on taking that drive and kind of figuring that part out. But location's a big driver, and it's really just sitting down with your client and educating them as much as you can.
So yeah, and I really appreciate that, Jen, with the education coming from the finance side and doing mortgages. Education is what it's all about when preparing from a home search when you're talking about the money side, especially the first-time home buyers. There are so many out there that they don't know the options that are available to them. They don't know the difference between an FHA and a conventional loan and the fact that they can do not have to pay monthly mortgage insurance. The first-time tax credit out there. So if you're listening and you make less than $97,000 a year, there might be a really great opportunity for you in a tax credit. So getting educated on the financing side as well, I think, is important. Now, you guys, I talked a little bit about the beginning, your team and what you can provide together versus being just working all on your own and not having that team structure. It's rare in the real estate industry, and it has so much power behind it. Can you explain to my listeners how your team approach is beneficial for buyers during their home search?
Sure, Tina. There's many factors with the home search, as you've heard, right? And so ultimately, one of the biggest benefits is listings, we never know when they're going to become available, right? It may be 10 a.m. in the morning, could be 7 p.m. at night, or sometime in between. When we have a team, ultimately our team is there for the buyer throughout the process. So we are there if I'm on an appointment out showing and I can't answer an email or a phone call, but I get a text that a new listing came up, I can quickly reach out to Jen, Noshad, or Sherry and say, hey guys, can you contact this buyer and make an appointment? And so ultimately, being a single agent, we can only be in one place at one time.
Exactly.
And now we have the option of being in four places at one time.
And one of the other big benefits is the fact that you have a collective brain.
Yes.
Right. So when you have, the whole team, you know, James has been doing this for 14, 15 years. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it for 11. Jen's in at 8 and Sherry's 6.
That's a lot of education, a lot of years.
That's a lot of years. And not only that, we have experiences with many different types of properties, different types of purchases and transactions. And so we can bring all of that knowledge collectively. I'm not afraid to go ask James for a question, say, hey, I'm running in this particular situation.
Uh-huh.
What's your thoughts on this? And so when we are actually collaborating, we are working towards the best interest of the buyer, and you have a lot more experience, knowledge to go into the process for a buyer than if you were working with just one individual agent.
Makes total sense. Jen, we got to take it to break, but I got to ask you this, especially with working with so many first-time home buyers, the benefit of homeownership versus renting.
Well, I got to tell you, Tina, I'm actually in that situation myself.
Okay.
You know, and so I'm in the situation of buying versus renting. And, you know, I've known I need to buy. You know, market interest rates are really great right now. So I've been on the hunt, but haven't quite found the right home that, you know, fits my needs. So temporarily I'm renting. But the reason why I want to purchase, you know, as far as being able to own is something to call my own. Also, the fact of building equity, you know, into a home versus throwing money, you know, into rent,
yep,
which I'll never see again. Also, as far as the tax benefits that you have from homeownership versus renting, you know, with renting, there's so many variables, as you mentioned earlier,
yes,
is that your rents could change, you know, your lease terms, pricing could go up. You know, there's different factors to consider. And so There's a lot to think about, but at the end of the day, home ownership, I think, is probably the number one best way to go.
I totally agree. And whenever I have a first-time home buyer or renter ask, you know, well, what if the market drops? Well, if the market drops, you've got to pay for a roof over your head regardless. The question really you should be asking is, what are rents going to increase to? Because now you can get into something and get that fixed payment. So very valuable information, Jen. Thank you so much. And we're going to go ahead and take it to commercial, but don't worry. The Northwest Dream team with John L. Scott, they're going to stay here for the entire show. And coming up next, we're going to talk to any of the sellers out there thinking of putting your home on the market and things that you need to know right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, December 6th show. I am committed to providing you knowledge needed to be successful in every arena regarding your finances. Knowledge is power, and that's what you'll receive listening to the show. Today is all about real estate. If you're hearing the show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast. To talk with any of the guests that I have in studio, just pick up the phone and call 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio, we have Northwest Dream Team with John L. Scott Real Estate. Right now, we're going to discuss a little bit on the other side. Before going to break, we were talking to all of the buyers listening today. Now we're going to talk to all of the sellers. But even if you're a buyer, you definitely want to stay tuned in because it's important that you understand what the sellers are learning so you can figure out how to strategize around that. And let's go ahead and start out with the factors that affect a value of home, because I know that's a big question that sellers have, and I think it's a question that buyers have as well. So what are those factors?
Well, that's a great question, Tina. There's so many different factors that affect the value of your home, right? So primarily, you know, homes are like a box of cereal.
Mm-hmm. It's a commodity.
It's just a product on the shelf, right? So the question really is what's the supply and demand? That's mm-hmm. one question, right? The second question is, what city are you located in? What's the supply and demand from a micro market perspective?
Okay. Location.
Yes, location is always the number one criteria, right? Then you always have the question of what condition is your home in?
Mm-hmm.
What price point is your home in? And so all of that really leads to the demand for your home, right? So ultimately, demand is what drives the value of your home, because the more demand there is for your home based on all of the different factors that go into the value, that's what's going to determine how fast it sells, for mm-hmm. how much money it's going to sell. But ultimately, just that, those are the key factors, right? And it's going to be location, it's going to be condition, it's going to be the macro market, it's going to be the micro market, and it's also going to be the timing. The seasonality will also affect
sure.
it as well.
And so how important is it that you price that home right?
That's always one of the key things in selling your home,
uh-huh.
right? Just pricing it right mm-hmm. from day one.
Yep.
And so you can always overprice your home, but rarely can you truly underprice your home. And what I mean by that is we've had many instances where we've seen comparables in a neighborhood, and we've looked at those and looked at our subject property,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately, based on the comparables, we thought, well, we're not sure if it's quite that high, and so we've priced it what we thought was slightly below that,
okay.
and let the market dictate where the price goes. And so that's been a great success, because ultimately, when the demand is there, oftentimes that's when we get the multiple offer situations.
Makes total sense.
And that's when we find out what true market value is.
Worst thing you can do is overprice it and not get those lookers coming in.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think, especially in today's market,
uh-huh.
buyers are much more discerning about pricing, right? So like we were talking about in the buyer segment, 9 months ago, the market was completely different. Buyers were very, almost desperate to find the right home
yeah.
and get into it. There was almost a frenzy. That frenzy doesn't exist today.
Mm-hmm.
However, the number one factor, as James said, is pricing. If you overprice it, you will most likely end up with less than market value, because the longer a home stays on the market, the more the red flags go up. And the question that our buyers always ask us is,
How long has it been on the market?
Yeah.
And what's wrong with it? Yeah. If it's on the market for 60 days or 45 days.
If no one else wants it, why do I want it?
Exactly. Sure. Mm-hmm. And so that's the biggest risk that sellers face, is overpricing their home and letting it stagnate on the market and raising the red flags that will actually turn off buyers.
That's why it's so important, if you're listening today, to have the best representation that you can. And that's why I do the show, is to bring the elite in the industry and everything regarding money. Today, our topic conversation is real estate, and I have an industry-leading team that's sitting right here. When it comes to educating and working through that process, and we're talking about pricing your home, you've got to have an agent that knows how to price it appropriately, because it's a challenging thing to be able to come up with that right price. So I appreciate, again, you guys so much being here. So let's talk a little bit about return. Where are you going to see the highest return on investment when remodeling your home, dollar for dollar?
So the short answer is kitchens and bathrooms.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's many other things that also play into that. And so if you're preparing your home to get ready to sell, once again, it's going to come down to kitchens and bathrooms, but there's many different levels and spec levels that you can take it to. And so you have to look at the price point and figure out what makes sense. It doesn't make sense to do a $100,000 remodel on a $250,000 home.
Exactly. Makes total sense. What about the outside for that, you know, that first impression, especially when you're going to list your home of you know, putting some money out there?
Here's really the approach for our team, right?
Okay.
When we go and decide that we're going to take on a listing, the very first thing we do is a very thorough walkthrough of the home, and it starts with the exterior. I think statistically, 66 or 67% of the people have already made up their mind whether they're going to like this home or not before they even walk into the house. And that can be a number of different factors, right? It could be the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It could be the street appeal of the home. It could be the condition of the yard. Do they see themselves driving up to this house every time? So before they even walk in, most of them have already made up their mind. And so the key is we start from the front of the home and we walk it as if a buyer were walking that home.
Makes sense.
Then we coach the sellers through the process of preparing the house for sale. Ultimately, as we were talking about earlier, this is a product. And every product is about preparation, pricing, and promotion, right? So the preparation being the end product, what does that house look like at the end? And then the pricing, and then the promotion. And the promotion is our job, right? And so we guide you through the whole preparation process so that we have the best product that house can be when we get it on the market, right? Then we coach you through the pricing piece, which is the most critical component of it, because we need to be able to price it at a level that attracts the people through the home. And then finally, it's the promotion piece, where we use all of our technology. We use all of the tools that are available, and the open houses and the internet, everything that we possibly can to drive the most amount of buyers through the home to give the seller the best possible chance at the highest possible purchase price.
Makes total sense. And so if you're thinking of selling your home, the smartest thing you can do is pick up the phone, call the show, 1-855-411-50. I'll connect you with the Dream Team. And would you say, if you're thinking of putting money into your home and you're thinking you might want to possibly list it before doing anything to the home, talk with you guys first, get some expert opinion and advice of what to do, right?
It's always in your best interest to have somebody on your side telling you from a non-judgment standpoint that
no emotions connected to the home.
Yeah,
just all about price.
Third party that's going to tell you how it is.
Sure.
Sometimes you'll like it, sometimes you won't.
Yeah.
But we'll be honest and upfront and really be looking out for your best interest.
At the end of the day, I think the results really speak volumes for our team.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to take a second to promote ourselves, right? Our homes sell on average for 102.9% of list price.
Wow.
And that's primarily due to all the work that's done up front, right? So the key is that we help the sellers and guide them through the process of preparing the home for sale, right? Because that's the most important thing you can do.
Yep.
Secondarily, the team approach is not just us. We have a whole list of vendors that we've vetted over the course of time that not only allow us to guide you through, hey, listen, this kitchen needs some work and mm-hmm. the bathroom needs some work, but we have the vendors that we have vetted over time that can do the work for significantly below market value and what a seller would go and do it on their own.
Yeah.
And that helps the return on investment for the seller. So the team isn't just us. It's all about our connections, you know, our landscapers, our painters, our contractors, and the value that those people bring because we have over time established rates that make the ROI on those projects much higher than if you were going to try and do it on your own.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you mentioned that because that's important. We're not just talking about you guys as a team, but the people that you've brought around you to help and serve your clients. So if we have a seller thinking about listing their home, we talked a little bit about what's happening in the holidays from the buyer side. What is the best time to list your house? Could you just say, okay, this is the best time to list the home?
In a normal market, the spring and fall are typically the busiest seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
In today's market, right, it's, again, an unusual situation where inventory is so low and yet we still have good demand. Wouldn't you agree, James? Today, if you had a house to list on the market, we wouldn't hesitate recommending you to list the house.
Yeah, ultimately, it depends on the location and how many comparables and active listings are nearby. But
okay.
I just had a situation in West Bellevue in Enatai where it was new construction and 2 days on the market had multiple offers and went higher than list price.
Wow.
So, and that was $2.2 million. So the demand, depending on the price point, location,
mm-hmm.
it can be there. And so
ultimately, again, this is all about supply and demand.
Of course.
And right now the supply is super low. Demand mm-hmm. is still out there.
And unlike with the buyers, I mean, the buyers, we said, it doesn't matter when you get out there and look for a home. Get out there and look for a home and move when you find the right one. But from the seller side, it's completely different because it's not like just go out and list your home. You have to be strategic on when you're doing it and how you're doing it.
Correct.
Yeah. So again, just having that the experts behind you to make sure that they're coaching you not to make a big financial mistake. So what about recommended for staging?
Staging is something that we always recommend.
Okay.
Even if it's as little, even if their home looks what they think in their mind mm-hmm. perfect, there's always things that we can do to create more emotion from the buyers when they first walk in. And that's really the goal of staging. You know, take a vacant home and create emotion so that the buyers fall in love with it.
The way I like to summarize that for people is a vacant home is a house.
Uh-huh.
A furnished house is a home.
Yes.
And I think people connect with homes, not houses.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we just position the house as a home that you can live in and make it warm and inviting and somewhere that they can emotionally connect to, like James was saying, it's a much greater chance of success. And builders, for example, always furnish their model homes.
Yes.
For what reason?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a huge return on investment and it makes a huge difference in the perception of the buyer.
Yeah, makes total sense. Sherry, I want to ask you a question. Let's talk about what the dream team, the approach for marketing on a home, and how do they know that it's effective? So if somebody's working with you, and how do they know how awesome you guys are that you did with the marketing of that home?
Well, there's many ways, Tina. We have such a comprehensive approach. It just involves actually creating a marketing brochure and flyer.
Okay.
That's suited to the home, highlighting the attributes of the home that would appeal to buyers, creating a personal website for that home, which is then broadcast across many internet sites.
Okay.
And just driving buyers to the home.
And so taking advantage of the technology piece of it as well as the hands-on to make sure you're doing everything you can to market and get top dollar for that house.
Absolutely.
Well, we are talking about with the Dream Team from John L. Scott, but it's time to take to commercial. But make sure that you stay here because I've got him here for the entire show. And we do have another segment left. And I thought it'd be fun if we just end up and talk about the market. What's happening right now? What's going to happen in the future? Coming up next on the Money Hour, again, Northwest Dream Team from John L. Scott, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, December 6th show. I provide you news on everything money, fresh information on the market trends and conditions on our local economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com to discuss anything regarding your money and to talk with the guests that I have in studio. Again, back in studio for the ending of the show, beginning and middle, is Northwest Dream Team with John L. Scott Real Estate. There's a lot happening in the real estate market, and is now the time to buy or sell? And where's the real estate market headed? This is what we're going to talk about during the last segment for our show today. And let's go ahead and start out with what's happening in the real estate market right now today. As we're sitting in the studio, what's going on?
So we've been talking about this throughout the buyer and seller segments as well, right? The market is a lot different today than it was 9 months ago, and certainly a lot different today than it was 5 years ago, right? So the market has clearly stabilized from the frenetic pace that it was at. I mean, we were seeing, you know, double-digit increases in pricing. Mm-hmm. Are we going to continue to see that? It's not likely. That's not the forecast for the coming year. Everything we do see shows positive signs for continuing appreciation, but not, again, at the frenetic pace that we've been at over the last 2 years, right? So markets, it's a much more balanced market today than it was.
Mm-hmm.
Inventory still continues to be low and in certain areas of Seattle. So the east side, for example, you know, they're not making any more land out here.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge, right? So there's always going to be a limited supply, especially around the key corridors around, you know, Microsoft and the downtown Bellevue corridor.
Mm-hmm.
Those homes will always be in great demand, and we continue to see great demand and low inventory in those areas, and those homes continue to sell quickly and at great prices. The further south you go, inventory tends to increase a little bit, and prices don't tend to move as much of a spike as it does on the east side. But the market today, it's a great time to buy or sell.
Yeah. So how are you getting through this with, let's say, on the buyer side with the market and the lack of inventory even right now? How are you helping your buyers navigate through that process and keeping them excited about not giving up? Because there's so many people that I think just have gotten frustrated and they literally are just giving up. And what I'm concerned about for them is they're going to give up and miss out on an opportunity because we've talked about with interest rates. So how are you helping them through that process?
That's a great question, Tina. I think the big thing that we do is keep them engaged.
Okay.
Right? And that means whether it's, I mean, new listings change daily, but we have to at least communicate with them. Hey, what's going on? Keep them excited.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There is hope.
Yes.
You know, the light is around the corner, and we will find you that home that you love.
Yes.
So patience is the key, and that's for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do the right thing, the end result, we'll find them the home that they love, and it's all worth the wait.
Great, great advice. Don't give up. Stay out there and know that your home's you're gonna find your home. It's just a matter of when. Just don't give up.
And I think as we talked about in the buyer segment, right? And as James brings up the point, you have to be patient, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to be persistent. You can't give up because today might be the day that the right home pops up for you.
Yes.
You know, we've got searches set up for a lot of different clients, and you know, a home popped up last night that I thought was a perfect fit for a client. And I sent him an email and said, hey, and the subject line says, this could be the one, right? And so you just never know the day that the one pops up, right? And so if you have to be patient and persistent and have a team that can keep you motivated.
Yes.
And out in front. So when that one does come up, we're there to pounce
ready
on it.
Ready to move, yeah. What about the emotional connection? I know it's hard unless you're in the buying process, but just, you know, and not being emotional and trying to keep that out of it as you're out there looking at properties. So I think that emotional piece of it can just really bring you down, especially when you're making offers. You found that dream house, but there was multiple offers and you didn't get it. And so how do you coach through that?
Well, that's where experience comes in, Tina.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think we wear many different hats as a real estate practitioner, but I think one of the key ones is actually our psychology hat.
Yes.
So sometimes the Dr. Phil has to come out and give guidance.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's house guidance. Sometimes uh-huh. it's marital guidance. Sometimes
sure.
it's financial. We wear many hats.
Yes.
And so depending on the day and the clients, mm-hmm. you know, we're always honest and upfront.
Yeah.
And that's what they truly appreciate about us. And they know that we're acting in their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we have to give them the pep talk.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to say, hey, you know what? Let's slow down. Did you think of this? This might
sure.
not be the right house.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's many times where we've actually talked our clients out of purchasing a home, which you don't hear of very often from a real estate agent.
No.
But, you know, end of the day, we want them to think of the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so by really getting to know them and what their needs and wants are, it's easier for us to do that.
To be honest, Tina,
okay,
sorry to interrupt.
Right? No.
Yeah, to be honest, we want our clients to be emotionally engaged.
Yes.
We want them to get in there and do a happy dance,
uh-huh.
right? We want them to do the happy dance because if mm-hmm. they're not doing the happy dance, we don't feel like that's the home for them, right?
Okay.
If they're talking about price, well, if we could get it at this, and they're not emotionally connected to it, that's not the right house for them, right?
Okay.
One simple letter.
Yeah.
It starts with L. They have to love it.
Have to love it. Okay.
They can like it.
Uh-huh.
It's not good enough. We
okay.
want them to love the house.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so it's easy for us to tell when they do find the right one.
Uh-huh.
And so when that time comes, that's what gets us excited as well and makes us want to go to battle for them if it does yeah. happen to become a multiple offer situation.
Yeah. So that makes sense. Just if you fall in love with the house, but no, if it doesn't go through, there's another one that you'll fall in love with, right?
Correct.
So let's talk about this, the potential bubble, because we've seen such amazing appreciation, especially in our market here, our employment opportunities. I mean, we've got everything covered in the employment arena. So with all of this appreciation that's happened, are we at risk of a bubble?
That's probably the number one question that I get asked.
I bet.
Yeah, is, well, what if the market falls?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, for me, the way to really look at this thing is the crash that we had in 2008
mm-hmm.
was a completely different market than it is today. So back in 2008, I remember I was lending back then as well. And there was no income, no assets, stated income.
No job.
No job. Loans.
No money.
No money.
Bad credit.
Zero down. Get
yes.
money back at the table.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, basically, and that was really, you know, zero down and no documentation
mm-hmm.
was probably about 30 to 40% of the loans that I was doing back then.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was, part of it was for simplicity, but part of it was just because people could get away with it.
Sure.
And just because you could buy a home didn't mean you should buy a home.
Yes.
And a lot of people who shouldn't have bought homes at that time, who couldn't really afford it, and who were really banking on appreciation and playing this investment game
mm-hmm.
of, well, it'll appreciate and then I can just cash out. And
yeah.
and they got caught in a cycle, right? And that's a completely different market
mm-hmm.
than it is today.
Of course.
Most of the deals, and you can probably speak to this better than we can from a financing perspective,
mm-hmm.
but what we're seeing is that most of the deals that we're doing are a minimum of 20% down. We're seeing a lot more cash deals
yep.
than we did ever before. And what's because all of this money has been sitting on the sidelines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now what we're going to see is that even if the market were to correct 5%, that's really not going to create this mass panic of homes and foreclosure and short sales
yes.
and this vicious cycle that's going to continue to bring the market down. It's just not the mm-hmm. same set of buyers and the same set of circumstances and the same set of loans that were out in the marketplace at that time.
That is such a good point, because if people, if they didn't have any money in, why not just walk away from the property when the market goes bad, and sure. the people that couldn't qualify and make the payments even if they wanted to. So we've taken that big portion out. That's a great point.
And the other thing that the other confusion that's really happened over time is that the word ARM
uh-huh.
and the ARM loans, right, have really taken on this misconception, right? So there's a difference between an adjustable rate mortgage loan and a subprime loan.
Yes.
And there are ARMs being done today, but they're not subprime ARMs, mm-hmm. right? And as you know, back then, there were so many subprime ARMs that were done. And when those started to adjust after 2 years, that's when affordability became an mm-hmm. issue. There aren't
well,
any...
Well, they have the teaser ones. You got this
exactly.
amazing low payment for 12 yeah. months, and then all of a sudden it's going to go up three times.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And people were gambling that, hey, in 2 years,
the market's going to appreciate.
The market will yep. appreciate.
So
we'll
who
sell.
Cares?
We'll get. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And when that cycle ended, the market just tanked. So mm-hmm. today, there, I haven't done a subprime ARM purchase
uh-huh.
since 2007. Mm-hmm.
There are
right?
no subprime
there
ARM
are
purchases.
No subprime ARM
you
purchases.
Couldn't get one if you wanted one.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I think that's a really important factor for people uh-huh. to understand in terms of what the risk level is today.
Makes total sense.
Versus what it was back
yeah.
then.
And then remember back then, too, with the NAGAM loans. I mean, people
yes.
literally could make a lower payment than what actually cost them to make in the payments. I mean, there's so many
How
dynamics there.
How ludicrous is that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And those won't be coming back.
Yeah.
So anything else on that we're seeing that's different that in a totally different market now than where we were when we saw the meltdown?
Well, I think...
That protects us from another bubble.
I think one thing to remember, right, when we're talking about bubbles mm-hmm. is in the Seattle real estate market, when we look historically, it cycles about every 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And we're always going to have some type of correction.
Of course.
So the key question is how big a correction?
And how long to get out of it?
How long to get out of
yes.
it?
Yes.
Nobody
yep.
can predict when
mm-hmm.
it's going to happen.
Yes.
But there are indicators on... when it might maybe leading into it.
Sure. Yeah. And I always say, you know, tell real estate's the safest investment that we can make. I mean, it always, if we follow the history of real estate market, yeah. the market will always recover. And you don't lose money in real estate unless you're forced to sell in a bad market.
Right.
So before we end the show, I've got to talk about what you think's coming up. Let's just say next year. Let's go 12 months from now. Where do you think the market's going to do? What are we going to see?
So... Right now, I mean, everything that we're reading and sensing is that because inventory continues to stay low
uh-huh.
and demand will continue to stay high, assuming that interest rates stay and hover anywhere close to this level,
yes,
we're still going to see a vibrant real estate market.
Okay.
Again, it's not going to be a crazy market,
mm-hmm.
but will there be appreciation? We believe so. And
okay.
everything we read, consumer confidence is great right now.
Yes.
And you know, the other thing that we haven't really factored into it is while the local economy has really picked up significantly, the national economy has really lagged. And now let's assume that the national economy improves this coming year, which every indication is that it will continue to improve
mm-hmm.
and the unemployment will continue to go down. That's going to create additional demand.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to continue to keep the real estate market vibrant for this coming year.
James Noshad, Jen, Sherry, thank you so much, all of you, for spending the entire show with me. I so appreciate it.
Thanks, Tina.
Thanks, Tina.
You guys will come back, right?
Absolutely.
Perfect. This is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks for hanging out with me to talk money and everything real estate. And I will be here same time, same place next Saturday right here on 1150 AM KKNW.